Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. Well, we certainly want to wish everyone a happy St. Patrick's Day as we celebrate coming up. And a little information about the history of St. Patrick. St. Patrick was born to Catholic parents about 385 in Britain. His father was a nobleman and a deacon, but Patrick's privileged life came to an end at age 16 when he was captured by slave raiders from Ireland. With a large group of prisoners, he was transported to the then pagan island. Sold as a slave to a king in the northeast, Patrick had the lonely task of tending the pigs and sheep. In the midst of these harsh living conditions, Patrick's faith flourished as he turned to God in prayer. After being held captive for 6 years, he heard a voice in his sleep say, "Soon you will go back to your homeland." A short time later, he heard the same voice say, "Your ship is ready." Trusting in God, Patrick set out on a 200-mile journey through unknown territory. When he arrived at the ship, the captain at first refused to take him. But Patrick prayed to God for help, and the captain changed his mind. Then began a lifetime of dedicating his life to becoming a priest. He envisioned returning to Ireland to teach the Irish about Christianity. During his 30 years in Ireland, Patrick founded more than 300 churches and baptized more than 120,000 people, yet he still encountered much opposition. "Daily I expect either murder, robbery, or enslavement," he wrote in his confessions. He escaped from 12 attempts on his life, and Patrick died a natural death on March 17th, 461. By the end of the 7th century, many legends had developed about him. One, of course, says he charmed all the snakes in Ireland and led them to the sea to drown. Another, probably the most popular, is that he used the three-leafed shamrock to explain the concept of the Holy Trinity to unbelievers. This is probably why shamrocks, now Ireland's national flower, are worn by the Irish on St. Patrick's Day. And on St. Patrick's breastplate are the words, "Christ be with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, in every eye that sees me, and Christ in every ear that hears me." So, St. Patrick's Day, which we celebrate, of course, with the parade, and all week, actually, till Thursday. And a little bit of a ditty coming from Kevin McCarthy from South Holland, who wrote a little poem in honor of St. Patrick's Day. And Kevin writes, "I've never kissed the Blarney Stone, but Blarney's in my blood, although my sainted mum tried hard to nip it in the bud. I'll sing you honest stories of how life has made me wise, and then my wife can tell you that they're all a pack of lies. To tell the truth, the Guinness is too bitter on my tongue, but who'd drink with an Irishman who's sipping Coke and rum? Don't tell the lads at Shannon's, I'd be shunned for blasphemy. I hate corned beef and cabbage, but I'm as Irish as can be. I'm known for speaking Gaelic when I've put a few away. I never had a lesson. Who knows Gaelic anyway? I've never seen Killarney, but I've been to River Dance. I'm off to see the Rovers every time I get the chance. It's good to be Irish in the city by the lake. It's good to wear a shamrock and to drink a shamrock shake. My friends will all forgive me if my story's all a lie. They'll throw me a wild party the day after I die. So raise a pint of bitters to the orange and the green, or fill that cup of coffee with some Bailey's Irish cream. The rocky road to Dublin's many thousands of miles away, but here in old Chicago, all of us we're all Irish for a day. We're all Irish for a day, right? Of course, celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Well, let's listen to a little music, one of my favorite songs. My grandfather used to sing this to me. And this is presented by Catherine O'Connell, one of the great songstresses of Chicago from St. Thomas More Parish. Danny Boy. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are calling. From glen to glen, on down the mountainside. The summer's gone, and all the leaves are falling. Tis you must go, and I must bide. But come ye back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow. For I'll be when all the flowers are dying, and I am dead as dead I well may be, I know you'll find the place where I am lying, and kneel and say an Ave there for me. And I will hear the soft you tread above me, and all my grave will warmer sweet be. If you would
Catherine O'Connell, Danny Boy, in honor of St. Patrick's Day, and we're back on The Kevin Moore Show. Those snapping fingers, that jazzily balletic race down an alley, the clamoring over a chain-link fence to escape the cops, the fire escape romance, the seductive but charged mambo at a dance in a school gym, the brutal war between the Jets and the Sharks, the senseless loss of young lives, the impotence of the adults trying to stop it all. These are among the many iconic elements of West Side Story, the landmark 1957 musical that transposed the wealthy but warring families of Verona, Italy, in Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, into a vision of the mean streets of Manhattan in the 1950s, a place where white and Puerto Rican street gangs engaged in a heated turf war. This is a rare opportunity to see a full-fledged stage version of the musical that initially united the monumental talents of composer Leonard Bernstein, director-choreographer Jerome Robbins, writer Arthur Lawrence, and in his Broadway debut, lyricist Stephen Sondheim. Paramount Theater's more than 30,000 subscribers, plus musical theater fans all over Chicagoland, have one of the greatest musicals ever to look forward to this spring when the Downtown Aurora Theater presents a grand sweeping production of Leonard Bernstein's West Side Story, March 16th through April 24th. West Side Story is a Leonard Bernstein and Stephen Sondheim masterpiece and arguably one of the greatest love stories ever told in a musical. Prepare to be astounded when Paramount Artistic Director Jim Cordy, fresh from his Jeff Award wins for Best Musical Director and Best Musical for last season's Les Miserables, brings West Side Story to this theater's beautiful Art Deco stage. Expect an amazing cast, incredible sets and costumes, and choreography by William Carlos Angulo that will take your breath away with its fine balance of vicious intensity and romance. The Paramount Theater Orchestra, helmed by music director and conductor Tom Vendifredo, make up the largest orchestra of the 2015-2016 season, performing a beloved score including heart-wrenching ballads like Somewhere, steamy Latin beats in America, and soaring lyrics of Tonight. And on the line with us right now is the Jeff Award-winning director for his productions of Sweet Charity and Meet Me in St. Louis at Drury Lane, award-winning choreographer such shows as The Full Monty, Bye Bye Birdie, and Damn Yankees. Broadway performer, director, having worked at Northlight, Goodman, and Writers Theater, teacher, mentor, the artistic director of the Paramount Theater, one of the brightest stars in the world of Chicago theater, now presenting the Broadway series finale, the multi-Tony Award and multi-Academy Award musical classic, West Side Story, March 16th through April 24th at the Paramount Theater in Aurora, 80s Galena Boulevard, our good pal, Mr. Jim Cordy. Jimmy, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Hey, good afternoon, Kevin.
Always a pleasure. And I have to add, too, I was talking to Jarvis the other day, that this is the last show for the Paramount Theater until they rename it the Jim Cordy Memorial Theater for the Performing
that's
Arts. I think that's terrific.
That's a lot of hot air.
I think that's wonderful.
Very funny.
It should be, though. You guys are knocking it out of the park every year, and it's just great to see Jimmy. And needless to say, because of your great talent and the great people that you surround yourself with.
Yes, I consider myself a very lucky guy, having this beautiful theater and being surrounded by the talent that I'm working with on a daily basis. It's pretty much a dream come true, but full of challenges. And full of problem solving, and that's why I appreciate all of us being together and working together, and I appreciate so much the value of collaboration and having all these different minds on the same path, all looking at a singular vision together.
Well, you know, you must look at these young people, Jimmy, and be very proud because, you know, they look at you and say, here's a mentor of mine, a teacher, somebody who has accomplished so much that someday I would like to. But in the meantime, they're learning from a master, very truly, and they're doing a great job.
Well, I learn a lot from them, Kevin, too. It really does work both ways. I mean, I have the benefit of my experience to pass on to them. But I'm telling you, there's something about fresh talent and how the beautiful training that they're bringing to the work, the refinement they're bringing to the work, their intelligence. It's really special what's happening. We just started going into run-through mode, and now we just start on the set last night, and now everything just slows down to just one cue at a time. Uh-huh. And they don't get to run it now for, gosh, another week.
Really?
So, yeah.
You know, I think what's fascinating about this, and I've always loved West Side Story, because when I was a young man, a little boy, my parents took me to see it at the theater and also at, the, I think it was the Michael Todd Theater many years ago.
Yeah.
And it just developed. Of course, Romeo and Juliet, great love story of all time. We just saw the ballet here a couple weeks ago, and also the opera. But the backstory and how West Side Story came about between Arthur Lawrence and Jerome Robbins, what it originally was supposed to be a story about an Irish family and a Jewish family.
Yeah.
And yeah. It was the what was the Jewish family? The Emeralds and the it was originally called East Side Story.
Yes.
And, of course, then, you know, they changed it to, because they were, I guess, they were in Los Angeles, and they were talking in Los Angeles, they were going to make it a Chicana story from the street gangs of Los Angeles, but they were both from New York, said, well, let's set it in New York, and it became, of course, the gangs of Puerto Ricans, and everybody thinks it's the Italians. It's really not. Tony is Polish.
Yeah,
right. And of course, and historically from there, just became such a great hit and won so many awards. But just the story itself, just the music, and this is Stephen Sondheim's first big introduction to the theater that we've all enjoyed. And look what he's done since then, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But, Bernstein's music is really something that I've had in my life since I was a kid. I saw the movie as a kid as well. Mm-hmm. And just really changed by it, this whole thing of you know, going to the movies and being so captivated by a story. And you know, gangs and singing and dancing and killing. And, you know, it really changed me. And I've never gotten to do it, never got to be in it or ever. I've never.
Really? You've never been involved in it? Huh? Wow.
No. And so here we are. I'm a nice senior, golden years, and I've got an opportunity now to see what we can do with it here in Aurora. And it's looking spectacular. It's going to be very different. I mean, at the opening, this introduction you gave me, you mentioned every cliche about West Side Story. and you know, it will deliver to expectations to a certain extent. I think what we've been able to do is you'll be surprised at lines that you haven't heard before.
Really?
That are in the play. Yes, you will. How it resonates with what we know about gangs today.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a very timely thing. We've all been quite amazed at how timely this is with kids killing kids.
Yeah.
And the culpability of adults, of the society that kids are growing up in, and the lack of choices that they have, and how these kids drop out of school, they don't get skills, that belonging to a gang is the only identity they have, and at the same time they know they have no future. They know it's either jail or 6 feet under. That's the tragedy, and that's what Shakespeare wrote about. It was a cautionary tale for adults. Your children are killing each other. What are you going to do about it? And it's loud and clear in this production, and that's the real tragedy. That's the real tragedy. How we've destroyed these young people.
You know, I don't want to get too pedantic here, but in the same respect, you know, you look at some of the things that we see, and I'm taking that thought a little further, that we see on TV every day, every night. We see this on TV every night, and we say, well, how can that happen? How can this person do that? Because they're not molded in the same way, not to sound anthropomorphic here, but they're not molded in the same way with the same values or raised the same way necessarily that we were. So how can you expect them to do anything else, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing, that they come into the world with such a disadvantage. Mm. And what do we do as a society to alleviate that, to give them education, to give them a purpose to their lives, to give them an identity, something that they can be proud of themselves. That's the wonderful thing about arts education, that a child begins to discover who they are through the arts. This is something that is very lacking in these disadvantaged families and these kids who grow up in families like this and are drawn to gang life because it gives them something to live for. You know, it's a survival thing.
Yeah. Are you able at all, I know with the schedule, of course, some is probably very prohibitive, are you able to have youth groups come in and see the show like this, that they can maybe take
a... Well, we do. We do have schools coming in, we have a whole group ticket department, group sales department,
And you know, you young people who don't have the opportunity to go to the theater, they wouldn't normally have the opportunity to go to the theater, to be able to come and see something like this, and you've seen it, I bet you've seen it 100 times, Jimmy, it's changed your life. It changes their life to be able to see, well, this is a different culture, and maybe this is something I could pursue or something I can do. And, you know, I think of that guy who put together, I'm trying to think of his Lin Miranda, who did Hamilton and the great success he's had and where he came from. And look what he's accomplished.
Well, that's the thing about live theater. When you see it live, right, in front of you happening, it has an impact very different from TV or film. And when it's really effective, it is something that you keep with you for the rest of your life. And certainly that happens with film and TV as well. But there's something about sitting in a theater with a community of people, and how you become a community once you're in an audience. And that live performance and the live response that you're a part of is something that sticks with you and you think about, and then you want to experience it again. And we're trying to keep consistent with the experience that you have here, and that you're not disappointed. So far, it's been working out.
It's working out very well. And I like your point about going to the theater, being part of a community that's experiencing and enjoying this themselves. You know, I've always felt that, and you brought it up a little earlier, that it's our responsibility as parents and adults and grandparents and teachers to expose these young people to the arts, to culture. And when they take this out of the schools, it's criminal. It's criminal to not have these kids exposed to a bit of classical music or to be able to see what theater's like, because it's when you go to the theater and you go to good theater like Jim Cordy Presents and the Paramount Theater Presents, it's stimulating and engaging the imagination and stimulating and engaging the creativity and stimulating and engaging the intellect of people, young people, adults, older people, who go there for a purpose and leave saying, you know what, I feel better about what I just spent in the last 2 hours.
Yeah, I hope that's the case. You know, people love West Side Story. It's their favorite show, and that's the credit to Leonard Bernstein. You know, this music is symphonic. There's not symphonic music like this really in any other show in the musical theater canon. This is a very singular type of score. It's symphonic, and yet it's jazz. It's dissonant. It's percussive, and then the ballads are just pure poetry and lyricism. The beauty is like none other in any other show, the beauty of it. But there's also something very brutal about the show once you bring a level of realism, which I think you have a responsibility to do now in 21st century, and making things relevant and making things be a mirror and reflect what is going on in our own lives. And that part is brutal. You're dealing with gangs and murders and assault on a woman, and it's stuff that kids see on social media all the time, on these videos, constantly, every night, all day long. But to attend theater can create a conversation that you can have your child with your child about this. And it's PG, and it does mean parental guidance. Right. Parent should know, you know, everybody parents differently,
right.
But a parent should know what the content of a show is. You know, these are bad kids.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, it is one of the most sublime, glorious pieces of music that you could ever hear played live by a 19-piece orchestra. It's a phenomenal combination of beauty and just the raw ugliness that is part of gang violence.
I was in the car the other day driving out west to a long ride, and I was listening to Sirius, and on the classical station, I think it's station 76 or something, the music from West Side Story came up, just the music, and I had to listen to the whole thing. You don't want to miss anything because you're familiar with it, but you still enjoy every bit of it.
That's right. It doesn't get old. It really has a timelessness to it. It feels very contemporary. And that was Bernstein's thing, you know. He was a real classicist. He was very immersed in classical music, but he was also a contemporary artist as well. He was influenced by Aaron Copland and Stravinsky and all those great contemporary classical composers. And this is the finest example of that genre of music that I think exists in musical theater.
Well, I and 30,000 of my friends are looking forward to it, of course. And to Tim Rader's credit and to Jim Jarvis and Jim Cordy's credit, that's quite a success. And I would imagine you didn't really think it was going to be like this over the last couple of years.
No, I mean, here we are about to complete our fifth season.
Right.
And I can't tell you what a ride it's been, and it's been exhilarating, and I'm having the time of my life getting to do this scale of work for this kind of audience support and enthusiasm. it's also a huge responsibility, as much as it is gratifying.
Yeah.
It is constantly challenging, and but I'm very lucky to be like we've talked earlier. And I'm surrounded by really good people and really good minds and good souls. I have to say too, the really good humans.
Over the years, West Side Story, it, of course, was preceded by My Fair Lady and Music Man and Fiddler on the Roof and Rent and Mary Poppins and Les Mis and Oklahoma and now West Side Story. There are no more musicals to do, Jimmy. I'm sorry to say.
We're running out of shows to do, folks. So really, we have developed a new works development department.
Oh, really? Okay.
And we're going to start looking at developing new works for the theater, which is very exciting, meeting with composers and book writers and seeing what we can do to contribute to the Broadway musical theater right from right here in Aurora.
Well, be careful with Jarvis because he'll do a biker musical.
Well, that's the thing with musicals. You can turn anything into a musical these days, you know? Nothing is, you know, it's everything's game.
Well, you know, you said it's hard to duplicate, but you've been able to do it, but it becomes more and more difficult as time goes on because every success is greater than the last, and you go, well, how do I do this again?
Well, that's what it seems like, you know, and that's a kind of a phenomenon in itself, how, you know, people say, well, this one's my favorite show. This one's my favorite show. That's an astounding thing. I take pride in everyone's work that we're achieving that. You know, that there is this finish to it and this satisfaction that audiences are getting from attending it. That means everything. That's why we do this. We do this for our audience, and we're very, very grateful for their support. That's what keeps us going. You know.
And the Jefferson Committee now has recognized that, you know what, we got to move a little farther west here and awarded you a lot of credits here.
Their restrictions opened up and let us in, and my God, we got 16 nominations and we took home 5 trophies.
Wow.
Our first year of eligibility. It's mind-blowing.
I knew it all the time.
I thought it would take years, Kevin.
I really
did. And it's all happening very, very quickly.
Now, come on. We were both educated by the Jesuits. You knew it was going to happen.
Right. Well, yeah.
When are we going to find out what's going to be on next season?
March 28th.
Oh, great.
Big announcement. These things have to be announced at a certain time because of the licensing rights.
Right.
Copyrights. So, yeah, the big announcement is March 28th. It's a very exciting season coming up, and I hope everybody becomes a subscriber and gets to enjoy the art and the experience of it at also a very affordable price.
Well, Kimberly and I are looking forward to West Side Story, one of our favorites, of course.
I hope I see you when you're here.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I got to thank you. You're a dear friend for many years, and it's great to see the success you've had and Timmy Rader and Jim Jarvis.
That's right, Kevin, to come think of it. You've seen a lot of my stuff.
I would have thought you got better, but anyway. And I'd just like to see, maybe one night. How about one night you just fill in for Tony? I think that would be a great idea.
God, I'm too short.
Could you still do the dancing? No, you can do the. I know you can snap your fingers still, right?
And I have a wonderful choreographer. I should mention William Carlos Angulo has totally reworked all the choreography. It is all brand new. It's very contemporary. I'm blown away by it. I think he's a brilliant young man, and very proud to be giving him his shot with this major work and a major debut as a choreographer.
What a great opportunity for him.
Yeah, and he's grabbed it by the horns, man. It's stunning and very, very exciting and very moving, very emotional.
Based on Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, West Side Story is set in the blue-collar neighborhood of New York's Upper West Side, where racial tensions are running high as residents try to grind out a daily living. A turf war is being fought as the Jets, a white gang, and the Sharks, a Puerto Rican gang, battle over boundaries. In the heart of the turmoil, former Jets member Tony meets Maria at a local dance. The chemistry is instantaneous, and for a few hours, there is no race, no hatred, no barriers, just two young people in love. But Maria is the sister of Sharks leader Bernardo, and no one is going to make it easy for Tony and Maria to escape. Paramount Theater's more than 30,000 subscribers, plus musical theater fans all over Chicagoland. Have one of the greatest musicals ever to look forward to this spring when the Downtown Aurora Theater presents a grand sweeping production of Leonard Bernstein's West Side Story, March 16th through the 24th. And on with, line with us right now is our dear friend, the artistic director of the Paramount Theater, Jim Cordy. Jimmy, always a pleasure to have you on the show. You know, it's a delight to chat with you and to certainly talk about the great success you have at Paramount. And we're looking forward to, you know, what's coming up for the 16-17 season.
Yeah, yes. Be sure to check it out.
For information, 630-896-6666. Please give our best to Mr. Rader and Mr. Jarvis, my dear friend, and we'll look forward to seeing you at West Side Story.
Great, Kevin. Thanks for having me here.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Bye.
Take care. Jimmy Cordy, one of the most talented people in Chicago theater and delightful, delightful guy. And we've talked with Jim and been friends with Jim for many years. And it's just a great opportunity to introduce young people to the theater at West Side Story. If they love Romeo and Juliet, they will love this. But as Jim said, it's a little stronger than some productions, but as well it should be, because we experience this every day. But the music of Leonard Bernstein and the choreography and the beautiful story is something that you don't want to miss. So at the Paramount Theater in Aurora, a beautiful venue that Tim Rader and Jim Jarvis and Jim Cordy have put together, 80 Galena Boulevard, March 16th through the 24th. For information, 630-896-6666, West Side Story. And before we talk to our next special guest, don't want to forget to remind everyone to stop by Swirls, because cupcakes make people happy. 705 West Belden for St. Patrick's Day cupcakes, some chocolate Bailey's Iris cream cheese or Shamrock Cup Shake or Shamrock Cup Shake vegan free, and enjoy some of the great offerings that our good friend Pam Rose has put together right by DePaul University and Lincoln Park. For information, 773-404-2253. The best cupcakes in Chicago. And if you miss St. Patrick's Day, don't forget to get the coconut ones for Easter, because that's always a great celebration. And Pam has such great ideas, and she's such a special lady. So Swirls, because cupcakes make people happy. Well, we're going to get back to Catherine O'Connell's great talents in a song about her dad and all the immigrants from Ireland, Immigrant Eyes. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Old Ellis Island was swarming like a scene from a costume ball, decked out in the colors of Europe, on fire with the hope of it all. My father's own father stood huddled with the tired and hungry and scared. Turn of the century pilgrims, bound by the dream that they shared. They were standing in lines just like cattle, poked and prodded and shoved. Some were one desk away from sweet freedom, some were torn from someone they loved. Through that teeming tower of Babel came a young man, confused and alone, determined and bound for America, carrying everything that he owned. Sometimes when I look in my grandfather's immigrant eyes, I see that day. I can't hold my feelings inside. I see him starting with nothing, working hard all of his life. Don't take it for granted, say grandfather's immigrant. stares out the window, but his eyes are still just as clear as the day he sailed through the harbor to come ashore on the island of tears. My grandfather's days are numbered, but I won't let his memory die. He gave me the gift of this country and that look in his immigrant eyes. Sometimes when I look in my grandfather's immigrant eyes, I see that day reflected. I can't hold my feelings inside. I see him starting with nothing, working hard all of his life. Don't take it for granted, say grandfather's immigrant eyes. Don't take it for granted, say grandfather's immigrant.
Again, Catherine O'Connell, Immigrant Eyes. And we're back on the Kevin Moore Show, celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Just in time for St. Patrick's Day, Chicago Theater Works, 1113 West Belmont, home of the hilarious interactive dinner theater experience We Got a Bingo, is happy to announce the Chicago return of Flanagan's Wake, February 26th. Tickets are now sale at ChicagoTheaterWorks.com. We are excited to expand the offerings at Chicago Theater Works, says We Got a Bingo creator and producer Billy Collins. And we're thrilled to have Jack Bronis, original director, and Bonnie Shadrake, original musical director, on board. Their return ensures the production will have all of the fun and humor that made it a huge hit for so long in Chicago. Flanagan's Wake transports the audience to the fictional town of Graplin County, Sligo, where local roustabout Flanagan has died. Here they meet an eclectic cast of characters, including Fiona Finn, Flanagan's spirited fiancée of 22 years, Brian Ballybunion, his best friend and drinking mate, Father Damon Fitzgerald, the sharp-tongued parish priest, Mayor O'Doole, the town mayor and bartender, the innocent Mother Flanagan, and several other colorful citizens from Fenwick High School. The mourners pay their respects to the deceased in the Irish tradition with a quick stop at the pub first. Certain performances of Flanagan's Wake will include dinner, which features Guinness beef stew. And on the line with us right now is award-winning creator and producer who co-founded the Actors Theater of Minnesota and serves as its managing director, producer of over 50 stage productions in the theatrical, commercial, and corporate sectors, consultant to the NBC Television Group, founder of St. Paul, Minnesota's premier nightclub, Camp Bar and Cabaret, proud graduate of Fenwick High School, and the creator of Chicago's hottest new interactive theater experience, We Got a Bingo, now presenting Flanagan's Wake at the Chicago Theater Works, 1113 West Belmont, Mr. Billy Collins. Billy, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Kevin, thanks so much. It's great to be back. And quite an introduction there.
Well, nothing more than...
better if I wrote it myself.
Nothing more than what Flanagan would expect, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Now, this is terrific. You're bringing back... But what's interesting, Billy, is you're bringing this back with the people who started this thing.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because they started it just a few blocks from where the Chicago Theater Works is now, about 20 years ago.
Really?
They were doing late-night improv and found that they kept all slipping into Irish characters and were having a lot of fun with it, and the audience loved it. And so then they started doing Irish improv that then became an Irish funeral improv that then became Flanagan's Wake, and played in the city for about, it was one of the longest-running shows when it
closed,
about 15 years.
Yeah.
And ended up moving downtown to the Noble Fool Theater. And
oh, yeah, Noble Fool, remember that, yeah.
Jeez, yeah, they had a great run with it, and it's fun, you know, seeing the old guys come back. And
and they're old guys now, right?
Yeah, right. You know, it's funny, one of the girls who's stage managing, her mother was pregnant with her during the run of the show.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, tell us the story about Flanagan's Wake.
Well, it transports the audience to a little town in Ireland where Flanagan has passed.
And the audience members are treated as mourners who've come to join the waking of Flanagan. And they have a little Irish wake meal, Irish stew with Guinness and soda bread. And then the wake begins, and Flanagan's long grieving widow of, or I'm sorry, fiance of 20 years or 22 years, is brought out, and the wake begins, and then the audience helps tell the story of Flanagan's life, and they do some amazing stuff where they write songs on the spot and monologues about Flanagan based on, you know, people will ask, everybody remembers that trip Flanagan went on he loved so much, and, you know, someone will shout out Barbados, and, you know, and in that strange, freaky, unusual way that Flanagan died. I can't bring myself to say it. Someone say it for me. You know? Some shout out, you know, trampled by a cow. That sort of thing. And then they run with it. And they have a great time.
Well, you're becoming the king of improvisational interactive theater with the success you've had with We Got a Bingo, of course, is carrying it on with Flanagan to Wake. And it's different. You know, you have to come there, you have a few cocktails, you know, enjoy yourself. But isn't that what theater's about? Because you want to be part of what's going on the stage.
Boy, well, yeah, and you know, both shows are running concurrently now,
right?
And people are having a good time. Chicagoans sort of like to let their hair down a little and have some fun, and it's working great.
Now, how do you do it running back and forth between Minnesota and Chicago? That must be a little busy week for you.
You know, it's not as bad as you'd think. I live close to the airport in Minnesota, and you know, it's just a short flight, 55 minutes, and. It's crazy how cheap the airfares are. It's cheaper than driving these days.
Yeah, well, sure. Now, do you have a lot of pals from Fenwick who come by and enjoy the show?
God, you know, it's amazing. It's for a city so big, it's still a small town in a lot of ways.
Oh, is that the truth? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's even funnier when somebody walks in who had no idea and that they knew anybody involved with it. They've had a lot of laughs, running into a lot of good friends. And, of course, coming from a big Irish Catholic family, I have relatives who show up who don't even know that I'm here.
Might not even know you.
Right.
You know, it's fun because, as I said before, to be able to, you know, spend a couple hours away from, you know, what we have to, the battles we have to fight day in and day out, and whether it's going to see We Got a Bingo or it's come to see now because of the holiday, Flanagan's Wake, it's just a lot of fun. It's something that everybody should enjoy doing.
Yeah, you know, I always tell the cast that that's probably the most important thing that they're doing is they're giving people a chance to escape their everyday troubles, and they got a big responsibility, and they get rewarded by having people laugh with them and thank them for what they, you know, the little respite from the hectic lives that they get. Yeah, it's fun.
And Chicago Theater Works must appreciate the fact that you've had such success with the plays you're putting out.
Well, actually, you know, we started it. We built the venue out for these shows.
Mm-hmm.
And so technically we're Chicago Theater Works, too. And heck yeah, you know, selling a lot of Guinness these days, which is always a good thing.
You know, you're whetting my appetite right now because after the show here today, I'm going to be stopping over to Harrington's and get some corned beef for the holiday. Wow. And something, I can't get enough of it. I enjoy it. And, of course, we have the St. Patrick's Day Parade, which is coming up this Saturday downtown. And in the various suburbs, all the great parades for St. Patrick's Day. And we should celebrate that. We should celebrate that because everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day, right?
It's the one day of the year. That's right.
Chicago.
It's funny, this time of year rolls around and you do start hankering for corned beef and maybe a Harper Guinness or two, and it's sort of gets you between the hump of winter and spring.
Or you can go down on what is that the street that's right in Forest Park there that's got all the bars on it.
Oh, Madison Avenue.
Madison Avenue, where Rich Borsch hangs around a lot.
Yeah.
And most of them are owned by the Fenwick guys anyway, but what a great time that'll be for St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, I bet they'll be tearing it up down there.
Chicago's blockbuster comedy returns just in time for St. Patrick's Day. It's Flanagan's Wake, the hilarious interactive Irish funeral. Come celebrate the life of our dear friend Flanagan by hoisting a pint and joining in on the tales that unfold. Join the villagers of the beautiful Grapplin County, Sligo, Ireland, as they tell tall tales, sing songs, and toast the memory of one of their own. And on the line with us right now is our good pal Billy Collins from Fenwick, who's had such great success with We Got a Bingo, and now continuing with Flanagan's Wake at the Chicago Theater Works, 1113 West Belmont. Billy, a phone number if people would like to get some tickets?
Sure, 312-391-0404.
What's next up for Bill Collins now? You got to have something else in the hopper, right?
Geez, I don't know. Just an easy summer in the city is what
okay. Okay, which city now, Minnesota or Chicago?
Oh, Chicago.
Okay, good.
That's my town, that's
good.
For sure.
Good, good. Well, we're going to look forward to seeing you at Flanagan's Wake, my pal.
Thanks so much for your hospitality, Kevin. Everybody,
and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, have a great St. Pat's season.
Thank you, my pal.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Billy Collins, who's had such great success with We Got a Bingo down at the Chicago Theater Works, 1113 West Belmont, now continuing with Flanagan's Wake at the same venue. It should be a lot of fun. And for information, 312-391-0404. Go down there and talk about Flanagan a little bit. He was a great guy. Whatever happened to him anyway. Flanagan's Wake for St. Patrick's Day. This St. Patrick's Day, celebrate at the Gage, where Billy Lawless welcomes Chicago's Irish community and those who are just Irish for the day on one of the city's favorite holidays. Two generations of the Lawless family are behind the festive atmosphere at the Gage. They regularly play host to Irish diplomats and have even previously welcomed the President of Ireland on this cheerful day. All are invited to enjoy a lineup of authentic menu specials, live music, and good craic. Located just blocks from the Chicago River, carousers can visit the iconic Michigan Avenue restaurant after watching the traditional river dying in parade. Diners will save your Irish fare, washed down with a selection of traditional Irish beers, whiskeys, and specialty cocktails. Available during lunch and dinner service, the Gage's St. Patrick's Day menu is available through March 17th. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning restaurateur, widely recognized Chicago celebrity, a leader in the restaurant and hospitality industry in Chicago, one of the brightest stars on Chicago's dining scene, and most certainly one of the most welcoming Irishmen in Chicago. Now celebrating St. Patrick's Day and like no one else can at his award-winning restaurants, The Gage, located at 24 North Michigan, and next door at Acanto, our good pal, Mr. Billy Lawless. Billy, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Always a pleasure to have you. This is your time of year, buddy.
Yes, the pleasure is mine. Thanks for the introduction.
You can't get into the Gage normally, but you'll never get in there for St. Patrick's Day.
You can't just be all elbows pushing through the door. You'd be fine.
You know, and I think Saturday is the parade.
Saturday's the parade, yeah. And,
boy, it'll be great.
A week from today is the day itself.
That's right. Yeah. So we get to celebrate for 6 or 7 days.
Yeah, the specialty menu is going for getting people ready, lubricating the liver.
And, of course, great food at the Gage always in Acanto. But anything special coming up for St. Patrick's Day food-wise?
Sure, yeah, starting tomorrow, yeah, we have a Irish-inspired, as we say, Old Sod Nibbles tomorrow through the 17th. So we got a Galway Bay seafood pie, Not Your Grandmother's Cold Cannon, obviously a classic corned beef sandwich, some house-made corned beef also, and we got a slew of fun Irish-inspired cocktails. And
corned beef is not generic necessarily to Ireland, is it, Bill?
No, not really. To be honest with you, it's growing up, it's very much an Irish-American thing, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And actually, when the Irish immigrants emigrated here, when they first started the emigration, their neighborhoods were very close to Jewish neighborhoods, so that's really where they got indoctrinated into corned beef, to be honest with you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, what did you, when I was growing up in Ireland and your dad, what food did you eat when you were celebrating St. Patrick's Day?
Usually it was overcooked and overcooked.
I'm sure your mother will appreciate hearing that.
To be honest with you, I mean, it's just, it really depends on each family. I mean, there's no real specific Irish kind of, as it is here on St. Paddy's Day. there's no specific Irish dish that one would eat on St. Patrick's Day in Ireland.
You know, I just love corned beef, and I finish the show here today, I'm running over to Harrington's to get four or five of them because I just love them.
And
enjoying is certainly the libations that come with St. Patrick's Day within reason. You know, the problem I got here is though I gave up booze for Lent, which is I think there's you get a dispensation on St. Patrick's Day if it comes during the week. I think
absolutely no one's checking you, Kevin. I give up Jesus, but I'm only joking.
Now, tell us about all the new restaurants. Acanto, of course, is doing great next door.
Yeah, we're doing Acanto. We switched it around about a year and a half ago. It's going great. It's just a little more. It's Italian, casual, more accessible. Definitely more of an impulse restaurant. Certainly sits the neighborhood a lot better.
And so, Patrick Doyle is involved with that.
Pat's my director of operations now for all my places.
Oh, great.
He's also be heading up the Beacon when that opens in about 6-7 weeks.
Now that'll be where?
That's in between the Trump Tower and the Wrigley Building.
Oh, great. Yeah. Great. I didn't hear about that one. Tell us about that one a little bit.
So that's just going to be a sort of a vintage American tavern, kind of playing homage to the old Riverside taverns of America, very seafood and fish focused.
Oh, great.
Kind of a very weathered look on the interior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, definitely going to be a nice convivial spot. So we have a fun bar, fun dining area. Right there, right between the Trump and Wrigley Building, looking onto the Chicago River. I think it's going to be a fantastic
look. Beautiful. The Beacon.
Yeah, Beacon Tavern.
Great. And now Amy's over at Block 37?
Yeah, they're doing their project on Block 37, so they should be opening, I think, the first week of June.
Mm-hmm.
All the building scaffolding came down, but they still have the barricades wrapped around there on Randall. So, yeah, but that's on the corner of, it's called the Dearborn.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the corner of Randolph and Dearborn, obviously. And, yeah, it's going to be a fun sort of upscale American bistro.
Great. Yeah. And the Dawson?
Dawson's going well. I mean, we're coming to our season now. The patio, we got a bit of action there the last few days with the weather. So,
Beautiful patio.
I mean, the patio, yeah, we start, I think it's going to be a bit of a dip next week, but we start all the replanting in about 10 days. And mm-hmm. We're looking forward to the patio season there. I mean, the patio season's phenomenal, and just the area itself is exploding. There's so many new developments coming online right now.
Yeah, I saw a couple of buildings going up west of you there.
Yeah, and the Connect building right on the corner is just it's two buildings right on the corner of on the southern corner from my location there.
Right. You know, the patio on the Gauge, though, it's right on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah.
When the weather is nice, everybody likes to sit out there. It's just a great location. Has it fulfilled your expectations, or has it exceeded them?
Absolutely, Kevin, and then some. I mean, I think it's exponential what it does every season, and you know, I wish it was twice or three times the size.
Yeah.
But it's just a great location. You're looking across onto across the road to Millennium Park and the water fountains there. You know, it's great people watching, especially, you know, I should do a time-lapse video. It's interesting entertainment every day.
Oh, I bet. Now, how often is your dad stop by? Is he still actively involved in all the restaurants?
Oh, Dad, for sure. Dad's my partner in the Gauge and Acanto. Dad actually found the Gauge location, then Kathy and my wife and I, we developed the concept and built it out. But, yeah, Dad's 100% involved. He lives right around the corner in the Legacy, so...
Oh, I didn't realize that. Oh, that's great. That's great.
He looks down, making sure everyone's okay. Protect the land.
That's right. You're always looking over your shoulder. Where is he now?
I think we have a bit of trust built back, so we're doing okay.
Well, you know, I as I said in the introduction, I say this very sincerely. You and I are very close friends, and the great success you've had there because of how welcome you are to the people that come into the Gauge and all of the restaurants, as Amy is, as Patrick Doyle. You found a gem in Pat Doyle. He's just a great kid.
Pat's the bomb, man. He really is like the embodies and embraces the whole culture that we've developed at the Gauge, and he actually helped develop it and grow it. I mean, he was with me since day one.
And of course, I've been very good friends with his dad. And Dennis does a great job as your manager at the restaurant.
Dennis is fantastic GM. Yeah, just he also is just a very hospitable individual.
Yeah.
Just cares about people, and you just need a bit of empathy with people. I mean, just to help the experience and It goes a long way.
Well, I have to share this with you. Shannon just had another little baby boy.
Oh, wow.
And the first thing she said, Dad, please do me a favor. Stop by the gate and bring me a hamburger, would you please? So I did that last night. She was thrilled to death that I...
That's hilarious.
You know, she loves it. But, well, we're looking forward to St. Patrick's Day, my pal. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. Phone number, website for people I get some information.
Sure. The Gage main line is 312-372-4243. And it's www.thegagechicago.com.
We'll look forward to the new ones that are opening, the Beacon, and, of course, going over to the Dawson and Amy's place over on Dearborn and so forth, and always stopping by the Gage. And a very happy St. Patrick's Day, my pal, and thank you for everything.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks so much for your support. Be well.
Thank you. Thank you, Billy. Billy Lawless, one of the great restaurateurs in Chicago with his dad, Mr. Lawless, and a great group of people. Dennis does a great job as a general manager at the Gage, and Patrick Doyle is just a fine young man from DePaul University. And, again, for information, stop by the restaurant for St. Patrick's Day. You don't want to miss it. 312-372-4743. Billy Lawless at the Gage. A few final thoughts about what it means being Irish. Well, being Irish means you never will be able to play professional basketball, but you swear very well. At least one of your cousins holds political office. You think you sing very well. You have no idea how to make a long story short. You are very good at playing a lot of very bad golf. There isn't a huge difference between losing your temper and killing someone. Much of your food was boiled. You have never hit your head on the ceiling. You spent a good portion of your childhood kneeling. You're strangely poetic after a few beers. On second thought, you're poetic a lot. You will be punched for no good reason, a lot. Some punches directed at you are legacies from past generations. Your sister will punch you because your brother punched her. Many of your sisters are Catherine, Elizabeth, or Mary, and one is Mary Catherine Elizabeth. Someone in your family is incredibly cheap. It is more than likely you. You don't know the words, but that doesn't stop you from singing. You can't wait for the other guy to stop talking so you can start talking. Irish stew is the euphemism for boiled leftovers from the fridge. You're nearly not as funny as you think you are, but what you lack in talent, you make up for in frequency. There wasn't a huge difference between your last wake and your last kegger party. You are or know someone named Murph. If you don't know Murph, then you know Mac. If you don't know Murph or Mac, then you know Sully or maybe even Scully. You'll probably also know somebody named Sully McMurphy. You are genetically incapable of keeping a secret. Your parents were on a first-name basis with everyone at the local emergency room. And last but not least, being Irish means your attention span is so short that, oh, forget it. So that's what it means, being Irish. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope your listeners have enjoyed this time as much as I have. I'd especially like to thank our good pal, Jim Cordy. What a very, very talented guy who's presenting West Side Story, the classic American musical at the Paramount Theater, March 16th through April 24th. For information, 630-896-6666. Billy Collins, continuing success with We Got a Bingo with Flanagan's Wake at the Chicago Theater Works, 1113 West Belmont. For information, 312-391-0404. And finally, our good pal Billy Lawless of The Gage on Michigan Avenue, 24 North Michigan, right next door to Oconto, celebrating St. Patrick's Day like no one else can, whether it's at the Dawson or his great many other restaurants. He and Mr. Lawless are doing such a terrific job. And certainly appreciate everything they do. For information, 312-372-4743. Finally, a famous writer once said, "One ought every day at least to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words." I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. With that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week. And as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. And finally, in honor of St. Patrick's Day, an Irish blessing. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Try with every day to make it better as it grows. Any luck, then I suppose. The music, the music.